Proverbs chapter 7. I did have a long sermon prepared for tonight, but I've changed that, and I've got a little devotional that I'd like to share with you. It might turn into a little longer than I planned, but I want to read Proverbs chapter 7, the whole chapter, and I want to draw out some principles from this chapter regarding the safeguards to the seduction of sin. What I've entitled the message, Safeguards to the Seduction of Sin. Proverbs chapter 7, and we'll read from verse 1 to 27. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I have fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time together tonight. Father, thank you and praise you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom we have in the scriptures. I thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit who lives within us. And Lord, as we just focus a little bit tonight on the safeguards that we need to bring into our lives to keep us from the seduction of sin, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that each one of us in this room who know the Lord Jesus Christ, dear Father, would follow you faithfully. They would do those things that you've called us to do, Lord, that we would, as your word says in James chapter 1, not only hear the word, but put it into practice. Do it. For those who do the word, Lord, are those who are blessed. And so, Father, please, by your Holy Spirit, speak, lead, and we'll give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, if there's one thing that each and every one of us in this room faces in our Christian lives, it's the problem of temptation, isn't it? And there's not one of us in this room, whether you're a Christian or not, who does not deal with the problem of sin or the problem of temptation. In fact, the Bible says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And so each one of us has a problem within us. It's the problem of sin. It's a nature that leads towards sin. And the Bible says that for Christians, we have been given victory through Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and grace. There is no excuse for anyone who is in Christ. Every single one of us who belongs to Jesus Christ has been given the divine power of God to face whatever it is that we must face in life. And so we can't stand before God and say, Lord, I wasn't able to conquer that sin. Because the Bible says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Whatever trial you face in life, God's power can get you through. Whatever sin you face in life, God's power can give you grace to overcome it. But there are principles that we have in Scripture that teach us how to overcome sin. And I think that there are six safeguards.
six things that we need to do as believers. If you and I are going to walk in victory, if you and I are going to have power over sin in our lives, we've got to consider six principles. And let these principles guide our thoughts, guide our hearts, protect our lives. Not like the simple man we read in Proverbs chapter 7 who didn't listen to the advice that God had given him. And the first principle that I want to speak about tonight is this, and you've got it on your outline. Consider the explicit implication and consequences of the temptation. When you're faced with temptation, you have got to consider the consequences of what it would mean to yield to that temptation in your life. What is it going to bring to you? What are the ramifications of the action that you're about to take? And where is it going to lead you? Take a look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22. Well, take a look at verse 21. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Now listen to verse 22. All at once he followed her like what? Like an ox going to the slaughter. It looked so good. It sounded so good. And with persuasive words, she led this young man down the wrong path. And the Bible says, all at once he followed her like this ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, until an arrow pierces his liver, and like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his very life. There are consequences to sin. The Bible says a man will reap what he sows. He that sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But he who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so when you're faced with temptation, you've got to step back and you've got to say, if I give in to this temptation, where is it going to lead me? I can tell you where it's going to lead you. Every time you step down the path of sin, it's going to lead to spiritual injury and death in your life. It'll destroy your life. And so one of the ways that you can overcome temptation is to consider the consequences of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation in your fellowship with God. I'm not talking about losing your salvation or if you're a believer. I'm talking about this broken fellowship with God. I mean, I believe that those who are born of the Spirit will persevere in the faith because God will preserve them. But when we fall into sin, our fellowship with God has been broken. So the first thing we need to do is to consider the consequence. Number two, very important principle. Never expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. And that is a foolish thing to do. You got to avoid those situations in your life, your own weaknesses. You've got to never expose your life to those kinds of situations. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. Solomon writes, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. Look what he was doing in verse 8. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. He knew where she lived. He knew what kind of woman she was. He didn't walk down that street in the daytime. He walked down that street at nighttime. And as he walked closer and closer,